Hi guys, welcome to episode 2 of Are You Open to Being Offended? First, I want to send a big thank you to all of our listeners. I'm so happy you guys enjoyed the first podcast. I got all of the love. I got the criticism. I got everything. So we will take everything you said into consideration as we move forward with this podcast. But I just want to say I really appreciate it. I'm going to say I because I really don't think my husband cares if anyone listens or not. Do you care, babe?
Yeah, I care, but to a point, I guess. Yeah. I'm just not social media, you know, I'm not into all that, the likes and everything.
Yeah, you're not into the validation
I know
from it.
Podcasts don't have likes, though.
Yeah, so, yeah. Podcasts doesn't have likes.
I'm just not interested in all the other stuff, but in a, like a not in a disrespectful way, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway. But thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Today's episode is discussing a very, very important issue that I think a lot of couples have gone through. If you've been married for longer than 5 minutes, you have probably heard your man say that you are nagging, overbearing, you treat him like he's your son. You don't know how to speak to him. So I wanted my husband to join me today to talk about nagging and about how to inspire a man to understand where you're coming from without creating that type of friction and confusion and arguing and disrespect and all those things that can go on in a relationship. So my first question is, what are some ways that I nagged you or annoyed you or lacked communication skills that maybe contributed to some communication issues or you not even feeling close to me? Like, I think people want to know, like, you know, what is our experience in this? So can you think of any ways that or any behaviors that I had that were not conducive to keeping my man?
One thing that comes to mind right away is repeating yourself over and over again about what you want me to do as far as behaviors or what you want me to, how you want me to act, what you want me to, how you want me to communicate, just whatever you want. Something that maybe I have not done right away. You just say it constantly. or when you are voicing a concern, and after I say, okay, I understand, then you would go on again, say it again. I say, okay, got it. And then you'll say it again.
Oh, okay, you're exaggerating now. Okay.
or at least that's how I felt. And then being aggressive.
Oh.
With how you would say some things. Maybe it wasn't like a... It wasn't a gentle reminder. Mm-hmm. I would say it was more of a, like I said, aggressive way of letting your wants or needs be known.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of something else, but I can't. Maybe making me feel guilty for wanting something that I want, or voicing something that I want to voice.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
I mean, that's what comes to mind immediately. Maybe something else will come to mind as the.
Oh well, I think that's quite enough.
Oh okay.
Well, no. Okay. Well, you know, I can own up. I can own up to that. I look
to all of it or the one, two.
I can own up to all of it. Yes. Oh. I am a repeater. My mom's a repeater though, so I'll just blame it on her. Oh, like okay. My mom tends to repeat herself with all of her children, and she repeats herself in the house. And I think that's just like a learned behavior. And I think for many women, some of the things that we bring into our marriage, our communication style, the way we think we're going to get our point across is, you know, maybe just from our personality quirks or learned behaviors or behaviors that may be negative that we just have, you know, been displaying. And those behaviors don't always work when you get married. But I mean, yeah, that kind of hurt. Okay, yeah. I mean, but of course, I'm the new improved version of myself, right? Like,
yeah, no, that's not something that's going on now.
Yeah, it's not a major issue. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't say that to be mean.
I'm glad you're giving it to us raw. I mean, the name of the podcast is "Are You Open to Being Offended?" And that obviously doesn't exclude me. All right. So, okay. But seriously, we're doing this podcast not to, you know, become famous or anything like that. Like, really, this is a heart. I felt this in my heart. Like, I felt like this was something that I wanted to do. I feel like it's going to be very impactful to hear, you know, about real things. So before we can get into like what we did and how I changed and stuff like that, can you talk about like how you punished me for being that way?
Okay, that's your words.
I know. Yeah. What was the consequence of me repeating myself, maybe sometimes being low-key disrespectful in the way I would express myself, not deliberately trying to be, but I am like passionate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes the passion can come out like weird or aggressive or kind of strong. And so I'm just kidding about punishing me, but you know, it sounded funny. What were some consequences of that behavior? Because obviously that wasn't okay with you.
Whatever I did, I didn't view it as I'm going to punish you or this is. I'm gonna get her. I'm gonna get you back, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what naturally, well, my personality, not being very confrontational, and wanting to get out of that situation that was confrontational, and not wanting to deal. What comes to mind is deal with you, but it's not. I don't know. Deal with the situation.
Ooh, we're being offended
today. No. I'm like not deal with the situation. I would pull back, be withdraw emotionally, talk less. Beating myself more.
Yeah, for sure.
Just a way to just get my mind on something else, and just not think about that situation. So I guess, okay, just in short, just withdraw.
Yeah.
And yeah, just be.
And I would, from the situation. I would say that's a trait of most. What I would. You know, I hate to throw this word around so loosely, but we want masculine men. I mean, women want masculine men. We want men that, like, have a backbone, that can stand up for themselves, that can protect us emotionally and spiritually in all of the ways that a husband contributes to our life as women. And I think it was important for me to see that it was affecting our relationship negatively. Because sometimes when you let that linger, that builds up emotional damage, which I mentioned today on the Wifey for Lifey group Instagram. That's something I'm going to talk about in the private Patreon community, is about the emotional damage that you can cause your spouse when you don't respect their boundaries and when you don't respect positive communication, and you just kind of feel like, this is me. Because, you know, that was my attitude, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah, you said that
yeah.
quite a bit. This is my personality. Yeah, if this is me, if you, I don't think you said this like quote unquote, but mm-hmm. if you don't like this, my personality, then like a feeling of what are you with me for, kind of feeling or something.
Yeah, which is a manipulation tool that a lot of women use. It, you know, we try to use the, this is my personality, this is what I feel. And just to be clear, you've never tried to repress my personality or my passion or my opinion or my views about life or anything. If anything, if people are mad at me on social media about some of the topics and controversial topics and painful topics that I address sometimes, they should blame you. They should blame you for
not
stopping me. Talk about these issues, because you don't want a doormat or anything. You're not that kind of guy. You're confident in yourself, and you know how to persuade me. Ooh, you know how to persuade me, because when I listen to you, you are so reflective. And shout out to everyone who has said how sweet and thoughtful and reflective you are. They like your style. They like your long pauses, and they like how it seems like you're thinking about everything you're saying. And that is the way he is in real life. Even with me, he doesn't let me rush his process. He doesn't let me rush his thoughts. And I'm just passionate, you know, and I can think quickly. Like I move quicker as far as like communicating, which I probably should go slower, which you tell me sometimes. You're like, whoa, slow down, think it through. And so I think that's important to understand that, yeah, we are very different people. We're different, right? We're very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, different in behavior and how we approach certain situations, what makes us comfortable in a space, what you view as what comes to mind is fun. I'm trying to think. I mean, that's not always the case, but what you may be more spontaneous, and I overthink sometimes.
Yeah, you're more logical.
Not sometimes, quite a bit.
Yeah, you're A-type for sure. You're serious. You're a serious person overall. Yeah. It's very odd to see you playful, which sometimes you let it out. I don't know where it comes from, but you let out this playful. I'm talking about like we play together all the time, you know, joke on each other, and, you know, we're hugging, and you're running around the house and, you know, grabbing me and stuff. We have fun all the time. But I mean, like that silly kind of physical comedy where you're like just joking to be joking. That's not really your personality. You're a pretty serious person.
Yeah, I'm pretty serious.
Which I think is something that I personally need in my life, because there are some areas of my life where I lack discipline. And I think that like you aid in developing those holes. Because I think when your spouse comes to you, you're a whole person, and you have to be to stay married, because no one can be God for you. Only God can be God. But we do come with like, and you can tell me if you disagree with this, these like little holes that can be developed or improved. And like that's what a spouse does for you. They come and they fill the places where you lack, and they kind of help you grow, because that's what marriage is all about. It's like this big growth process.
Then you mentioned someone mentioning something about a mirror, being married holds a mirror up to you.
Yeah, like being married is like holding a mirror up, but instead of your reflection, it's your spouse's reflection showing you what you're giving to the world. Like they are your mirror, and so it's important to talk about issues like nagging and treating your husband as though he's your son or as though he's your child, you know. So, okay, so we talked about, like, some of the things you noticed in me in our marriage, in particular early on.
Yeah.
And you talked about, you know, how I was punished for doing those things. I'm just kidding.
Not my words, but
yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, like, how I kind of turned that around and also maybe how you became a little more patient with, I guess, understanding that I am a woman and I am going to be emotional sometimes, but that needs to be respectful. Even when I'm feeling emotional, I do have to be accountable for how I respond, which is something that I really did have to work on. So let's talk about, like, how we turned that around and maybe just offer a few tips to other people on maybe how they can turn it around with their relationship. So one thing is I started a little bit with self-development, right? Like, I started, like, really diving more into my spirituality, right? Like, mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. going back to that Bible and seeing how we are supposed to just talk to people in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mature with, you know, as you get older, you mature as yeah. well. And you don't ingest a lot of things, a lot of negative media. So you don't ingest a lot of things through your eyes and through your ears.
Right.
What you watch and what you listen to, so.
Right, because when we first got married, I was kind of into that, like, basketball wives, mm-hmm. and I knew it was probably not the best thing.
Some of that reality stuff.
Some of that mm-hmm. reality stuff, just because, you know, it wasn't my personality or anything. It was just so interesting. You mm-hmm. know, it's just so interesting to watch these characters on a show, but that can influence, like, the way we talk to people. People don't realize it. I think it kind of goes into our subconscious. Mm-hmm. So what we ingest is important. So yeah, there was a maturing process that happened over a course of a decade in our relationship. And we've been married longer than a decade, but I can think, like, a lot of those developmental shifts occurred in the first, like, decade of our marriage. So mm-hmm. yes, we got older. Mm-hmm. So as you get older, you're going to mature.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. And then two, I started going back to the principles that I was raised on, you know, how are we supposed to treat people? How are we supposed to love people? And it doesn't matter if it's your husband or your next door neighbor, like, there's just a certain way that we should carry ourselves. And that's very hard mm-hmm. and it takes practice. And then I also think I started learning just how to be a better wife. Like, you know, some people just get married, it'll all work out. But, like, no, sometimes you need, like, mentors, and you need to read books, and you need to listen to podcasts, mm-hmm. and you need to, you know, be in that group at your church. Mm-hmm. And we started being way more active in church. Like, we mm-hmm. both grew up in the church, but at one point in our marriage, we kind of knew we were, like, falling off a little bit mm-hmm. with going to church and, like, being active with other couples mm-hmm. and we started doing that. And I will say that you weren't crazy about it.
That's because I'm yeah. a introvert.
So yeah, because you're an introvert.
I'm not
yeah.
quick to go into groups of people and talk and, you know, let's talk about the day and how we're feeling a certain day and whatever. Let's have a discussion with people that I just met, and, you know, it takes a while to warm up to people to go into deeper conversations. So.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But we did do that, and I think that kind of brought us back to our roots. We were both saved mm-hmm. when we got married. We were both Christians when we first got married. But definitely, I think when you're young, we got married so young that I think, you know, sometimes you're just not serious about certain things. And I think for myself, getting more serious about the way I'm supposed to be in relation to being a wife to you and you being a husband to me, over time that just kind of got better and better with getting back to our roots. I mean, that's the only way I can really describe it, is just going back to biblical principles. Not that we ever left them. I mean, mm-hmm. we never had, like, super weird things going on in our marriage. We're just not those kind of people.
I wasn't quick to to jump into going to church every Sunday again, because I grew up with the whole, you know, every Sunday stay in church these long periods of time. They want to preach to 3:00, you know, 3:00 in the afternoon and all that. So I didn't want to, like, when it was time for me to choose, I was kind of rebelling against that whole thing about going every Sunday. But that's getting into something else. But anyway, yeah, you can go ahead.
Yeah, the rebellion. I think, yeah, that's kind of what happens to you when you're young. I think it's like this little rebellious phase. We both grew up in church. We both were, like, I don't want to say forced, but yeah, we were forced to go to church. Mm-hmm. There was no, like, no, I'm just staying home today. Like, no, we grew up. And when I say church, I mean, like, it could be Sunday school, regular church, after the church, the service after church, Bible study, you know, vacation Bible school. I mean, we really grew up in the church. And so I think everybody kind of goes to a rebellion phase. It's some more extreme than others. Yeah. But once we got married and we were like, we're adults, we don't have to go to church on Sunday. You know, it was like fun, you know. But as you grow in your marriage, you see that you do have to keep revisiting these principles that you need to stay married. So those were some of the things that I think helped with, like, changing up my communication style a bit. Now, I want to ask you, as a man, do you believe when a woman is going through a process in her mind and she feels like, you know, my husband's not doing this, he's not doing this, he's not being respectful in this area, I'm not getting what I need, you know, yada, 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 you know, do you feel like it's important for a wife to express her concern? Is the issue a woman expressing the problem or a concern that she has? Because some men are like, don't say anything to me, like, you know.
No, I think it's how you do it, because we're talking in marriage, right? So if you marry this person, you love this person, you care about how they feel, and you want to meet their needs. So I think it's mainly how you present your concerns. You present them in a way that not in a way to berate or blame. Even if the other person's to blame, what I heard is try to use I language as opposed to you language, where you're saying, you make me, well, I feel this way when you do this. Or can't think of another example, but you know what I mean. Like, so just try not to say you right. did this.
You did this.
You're
it's
doing
your
this. Yeah, yeah, your fault kind of situation where.
Now, what if it is their fault, though?
I feel this way when...
Yeah.
Well, there's the U word. When you do this. So, I guess it's... I know that's easier said than done when you're in a highly emotional state. So, probably I think... you should maybe not, you know, I don't know everything. Maybe you should try not to address the issue at that exact moment.
Yeah.
And step away for a second and let things cool down and then address it when you're both calm. Assess the situation. Get the temperature of the room before you start,
right?
Because that can escalate the situation if you're in the midst of the problem, right then the issue right then. Of course, it may be a long standing issue, but just wait till things calm down. I think you'll get a better reaction. I think.
Yeah, I mean, de-escalation is something that many therapists and counselors talk about, the importance of, you know, de-escalating a hot issue that may be in your marriage. Now, we're going to get to the point where we give some tips and some things that may help. But I do want to address the mothering of wives, you know, this little mothering complex that a lot of women have. I definitely think, like, when I reflect back, in some ways, I was trying to guide you in some way in certain scenarios, and you definitely rejected it. Mm-hmm. And you were like, no. So, you know, can you explain why men don't like to be mothered? Were you going to say something?
No, I was in no way speak for all men, but I think it's more of a control feeling, like speaking for myself, and what I think some men may feel, like they don't want to feel like you are trying to control them. So once that feeling comes, there may be a rebelling way of thinking for them. So,
right.
I don't know.
And I think that is hard to accept.
You don't want to feel controlled.
Yeah, as a wife, I think it's hard to accept as a wife because, a good woman, she has her husband's best interests at heart. She wants them to thrive as a couple and as a family if there are children involved. And I think that sometimes we get upset when we don't get our way. I think some of it is like not getting your way, because like, even if your husband does something that you don't like, it's his prerogative to decide when he wants to change, how he wants to change. And sometimes I think we try to rush the process.
And men have an ego, so they probably, even if they don't say it, that ego is pretty sensitive and could be affected based on the speech of the woman he loves, I think.
Yeah, definitely the way we choose to address an issue, which would probably be my first tip from my own life, is like the way you address your husband, it really does need to be respectful. Even when you're angry. So it's best not to do it when you're angry. Because if you come angry, he's probably going to stonewall, or if he's the kind of guy that will argue. But most masculine men don't argue. They won't argue. They'll leave.
Honor and respect is one of those needs of a man that I saw. Like, it's in everything a woman addresses to a man, the ideal situation is to address it with respect and honor. Right. And in the ideal situation, the husband is addressing issues with the wife in that way as well, I guess.
Yeah, because that's the Ephesians 5 husband, you know, God tells.
Of course, it's not always happening, but that's, but I think a woman has that power through that respectful way of talking and that feminine energy to turn a man who has a hardened heart and soften it up.
Yes, and that I do think that is our power. You know, a lot of women will say, well, what about the man? You know, he didn't talk to me nicely. And I'm just thinking to myself, girl, look, if you pick the wrong man, I can't help you. You know, if you picked a wicked kind of man, this won't work.
Yeah.
Okay. If he's wicked, he's wicked. Yeah. You know, or have, if he has issues that he hasn't dealt with, like some things are not going to just like disappear with pleasantries. Mm-hmm. But if you picked a like a good, you know, guy with mm-hmm. some character and yeah. some morals and some values,
turn on that femininity.
You could turn on that femininity and that thing will work every time. Mm-hmm. It will melt his heart because, mm-hmm. you know, that's what we bring to the relationship. We're supposed to bring. We're supposed to bring that softness, that understanding, and that nurturing. You know, nurturing is not a bad thing. It's just when it turns into control, mm-hmm. you said. Like, when it turns into, you didn't do what I wanted you to do, so therefore I won't do this. Or I'm going to punish you. Mm-hmm. And it could be different ways. It could be sexually. It could mm-hmm. be, you know, I'm not going to talk to you nice, or I'm going to spend more money than what I should spend. You know, like, women will try to do little manipulative things to get a man's attention, and it's not going to work, is it?
No.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Yeah. So that's the first thing. You know, you just need to be respectful. And your husband should be respectful towards you too. Yeah. So that's important. But women, we have that little, if we have any superpower, it is with reaching our husband's hearts through our femininity and through our softness. Mm-hmm. I guess also having maybe some boundaries with the way a couple interacts could help with the nagging. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if a husband tells his wife, like, you know, you repeat yourself a lot. Like, a man being clear mm-hmm. with his wife that he doesn't like it and mm-hmm. giving her time to improve in certain areas. So mm-hmm. do you think boundaries is a good thing to stop this nagging, this back and forth, this, you know,
yeah.
How does a woman inspire her men without the nagging?
Well, I don't
how do I inspire you?
Just not being loud, aggressive.
Oh my God.
Masculine. Just being soft, not speaking in this harsh tone. Mm-hmm. Just being light. And just not being so aggressive. Just come thoughtfully and
that'll take care of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know, the eyes say a lot. You mm-hmm. know, the you know, the turning of the head, the touching of the shoulder or the chest. Yeah. You know, just being
calm. And, yeah, and be calm.
Yeah, calm is a good one. Yeah.
Okay, so don't come like a big burly bear and
yeah.
you didn't do yeah. this and blah 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 blah. Yeah, I think because look, I'm spoiled. Mm. You spoil me, and like I never would have imagined that you would engage in the amount of spoiling that you do. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, and I thought you were great at the beginning. Like, I didn't think it could get any better. I'm like, oh, I'm with a guy. He's great. He's sweet. You know, he treats me well. I mean, years down the line, I'm like legit, like, spoiled. So I feel like that evolution of myself, it's like I don't have to do much to get much out of mm-hmm. you. Like, it's like you're here to give. You're here to give love. You're here to, like, you want to make me happy.
And you, to the, you know, the, go back to the question, it just, if you start off with the good things and just, and then get into the what, every issue you have mm-hmm. with respect, you know, with the, you know, I love you and I love this about you and mm-hmm. you make me feel this way, but, and then go on and fill in the blanks, I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, right. just, you can get the attention with the affirmations or the whatever
right.
he's doing right. He don't want to feel like he's failing in these different areas. I would think.
Right.
You know.
No.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so important. So, yeah, I think that's very true. I mean, I can tell you a secret, ladies. I mean, your man wants to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is one of a husband's life goals, is to make his family proud. Mm-hmm. He wants to be the hero in mm-hmm. that family. Mm-hmm. But he also wants to know that you're going to be there for him when he doesn't have his cape that day, mm-hmm. and that you're not going to shame him or shun him. Like, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Get it together. Like, a man wants to know that there's a form of unconditional love that does reside inside of the relationship. And we know there are boundaries in marriage, and these are biblical principles for us that we can't cross. But everybody has down times and down moments. And, you know, a man wants to be the best for you. So I think that's a secret that a lot of people don't share. Like, there is no, like, trying to get a man to do right and be mm-hmm. right and be faithful and love you. Like, they naturally want to be that for you when they love you. I mean, do you agree with that, babe? Yeah.
It makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I told you earlier. When you're smiling, I feel good. And the problem comes, or I start to feel bad or wonder what's wrong once I see you with a straight face or sad face or not smiling.
Right.
That's to feel fear, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
What? And then you go into, like, fix mode. What could I do to fix this?
Yeah.
So.
Right, and sometimes it comes out as frustration. Like, sometimes I tell my husband his facial expressions are not matching what he's saying, or I'm not getting, like, a loving vibe. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm trying to fix the problem. I'm trying to work it out. So, ladies, sometimes we are too sensitive about everything. You know, their facial expressions, and maybe their tone wasn't exactly right, and then that upsets us a little bit. So I think it's, like, important to just remember men are men and we are women, and we do have different ways that we communicate and relate to each other. You know, my husband is not going to relate to me the way I relate to my girlfriends or even another female, you know, and I had to kind of learn that, like, oh, you know, his communication style is different. The way a man uses his logic and the way he processes issues and problems are probably going to be very, very different than a woman. And like my husband said, you know, he's being politically correct, saying he's not speaking for all men. But I think that for masculine men, there are just some basic principles that run through all men that are masculine, in my opinion. So the first tip was be respectful. You know, watch your tone. The second one was boundaries and understanding, like, if you go over your husband's boundaries, he's not going to probably respond, repeating yourself, being aggressive, harsh. And my husband brought up the tip of, like, bring out your femininity, put it on full blast, and let that, and use that to your favor, because it's wonderful to be able to use your femininity in a marriage where it's safe to do so. And maybe the last tip deals with kind of what I talked about as far as my process, the spiritual component. See, I think two people have to come together, but they have to come together whole, you know, to make another whole. You know, like, you need to have a relationship with God, for those of you who are believers, and you need to be developing yourself. Because what if a man doesn't think he's wrong? You know, you might have a situation where, you know, maybe a woman is coming home and she feels like she needs more help in the home. And maybe her husband goes by the bar every time he gets off work, and she doesn't want him to, like, go by the bar, but she can't make him stop going to the bar because he's his own person. You know, she's not his mom. But maybe she needs him to come home a little earlier on some days, or maybe some days not go by the pool hall or the bar. You know, women deal with stuff like this. So, I mean, if a man can't see what he is doing is wrong, Or he's maybe gaslighting you, saying, oh, you're just trying to be controlling, when she's not trying to be controlling. She really might need support or, you know, help, or maybe she's wondering what he's doing out there, you know. I mean, what do you think a woman should do with a person that's maybe not spiritually whole, that maybe is doing some things that are selfish? Mm-hmm. Do they go get a divorce?
Femininity is not based on your necessarily a religious situation. Every woman has that, whether they are a Christian or not.
Mm-hmm.
So using that to address the issue, I would think, like I said before, with the what is he doing right? I appreciate the fact that you're going to work to help provide for us or to help us or whatever. I don't know. Whatever the situation is that he's doing right.
Yeah.
Mention that and just be soft when you're bringing these things up. I know it depends on, see, I don't know the kind of guy, but it just goes back to the femininity component of it.
Right. You should just be, even without the spiritual component, your femininity may be still be very powerful in a relationship, mm-hmm. but not with a guy that's not a good guy, right?
Okay.
Like, mm-hmm. not with a selfish person. Mm-hmm. Because I hear a lot of wives say their husband is very selfish. I mean, there's mm-hmm. no proof, but only think about themselves. Mm-hmm. I think men are, I don't want to use the word selfish, but I do want to say I think men in general are more led internally, meaning mm-hmm. by their needs and mm-hmm. their desires. I don't think men are like women where we're external.
Well, where did that go wrong? When did it turn? What is his complaint?
Mm-hmm. That he needs a break. Like, you know how men say they mm-hmm. need to blow off steam before they go home? Probably because the woman is being naggy.
Okay, well, see, that's, well, you got to pinpoint that problem.
Because right,
if the home is not the place of peace, the place where he is the most comfortable, not another version of stress, you know, not a relaxing environment, why would he want to go to that?
That's a good point.
Immediately after doing something that working a job, a career that is not necessarily something that he loves to do.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a welcome home situation. You know, like, I'm glad you're home. A smile when he walk in. Smile and a kiss, not a hey or whatever. I don't, you know, you should, I would think, be happy to see him when he walks through the door. So maybe, see, that's a part of the feminine part. Like, that may shock him if this is not something that has been going on.
Right.
You know, and that may be like, you know, like a wake up. Oh, you know, she does appreciate me or love me for what I'm doing. And, you know, voice it.
Yeah, because sometimes you need to shake things up in your marriage. You know, sometimes you do have to change the way you've been mm-hmm. doing things if they're not working.
And also what he's seeing.
Be visually appealing.
Yeah,
you
know.
Are you open to being offended, ladies? He's going there.
Oh,
okay.
Well, I don't know. You know, like.
But be attractive.
Yeah, come in. What do you look like?
But what if she's worked all day and she's tired? She has her bonnet on. She has her bonnet on in the kitchen when she gets home. You know, she's tired. She wants to put her bonnet on and her holy pajamas. Are you saying that that's basically nobody wants to look at that? Are you open to being offended? Let's see.
You know, no one wants to see that. But what I'm saying is you can always change.
Yeah, you
if
can always change.
If your work clothes isn't visually appealing, or if, you know, depending on, you know, where you work, but You can always change.
Yeah. So something. you're telling the ladies they have to take care of themselves, you know, care about their hair, care about their body, care about their style, because husbands do care about that.
Yeah, it's, we're visual.
Yeah.
Smell.
Good. All that.
You know,
yeah.
All that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just wake up. Wake up the senses again. Yeah,
wake up the senses. You know? So don't let yourself go.
Mm-hmm. But you said I'm
are you downplaying the spiritual component of a man being spiritual and a woman being spiritual and having, because you kind of push that down, like, oh, just be feminine.
Oh, no.
Don't worry about being spiritual at all.
I was saying that any woman could be feminine regardless of their personality.
But, yeah, that's true.
But that the way you use it has a connection to the spirituality, I think, because you may use it in a way that may not be healthy.
Manipulative.
It may be selfish.
Or manipulative, but what I was saying was the man that goes to the bar or straight to the garage, or the wife wants a date and he's refusing her a date, or... Uh-huh. He's not helping, you know, if they both work, he may never help around the house, or because, you know, there's lots of everybody has their own thing going in their household. Mm-hmm. You know, we believe in gender roles, but we don't shun helping each other to do what needs to be done. So depending on whatever their household situation is, a man might be doing the wrong thing, maybe overspending. Irresponsible. So I was saying, don't you think the spiritual component may be lacking with those type of husbands?
Yeah, and you may have started on the same wavelength when you got married, and maybe you started growing more spiritually than he did, or it may be that kind of situation. But you have to pinpoint when did the miscommunication start? Find out, ask. It may be humbling. What do you think, or what could I do? I don't know. I'm reluctant to say what could I do to make you feel good today?
Yeah, what could I do
to make you feel good or feel better about the way you feel about me? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Is that like too...
No, I think therapists recommend that too. Like, I've heard that before. I've read it. I can't remember where, but I've read like that's something you should know on a regular basis, once a month. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should go to your spouse, men and women, and say, what could I do
for you today?
For you today, or just what can I do to be a better wife to you?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to be a better husband
to you? I think that's
good.
Yeah, because in the beginning, I imagine you go, well, not imagine, when we first got together, we were in the mindset of, I want to make you happy. All the time.
You know,
that's, you're on that new marriage high, and you know, you're always
it's a hell of a drug, babe.
You always are attentive to their needs and all this, and everything's so good and fun.
Yeah, everything's so good and so fun, and you're so, you know, idealistic, and you haven't probably been through like some real dark times at that point. But then when those problems hit, you know, sometimes you stop desiring to please your spouse, or don't even think about how could I be a better wife or a better husband. And I think this happens to a lot of women because they get distracted with life. If they're working, you know, if they're doing childcare things, it's like, well, now I have this role, you know, I can't worry about how to be a better wife to you. But that's probably going to end out bad.
What did you like about that guy when you first got married? What did you see in him that made you want to be his wife, probably? And I don't know, voice it. What do you like about him? Not what did you like about him? Because that doesn't sound good. And I don't think that would be very receptive if he feels like, if you word it that way, it may feel like the way I've, well, I don't know, the way you've changed may be going in the wrong direction. So
could be.
It's
tough because everybody's at different spots in their relationship, so it's hard to say, and they have different general. But overall, if you married a person of character with values, I think these things that we discussed will work. Now, if you married somebody you had no business marrying, and that happens sometimes. Sometimes people wake up and realize through some enlightenment that, wow, this is not what I should have done, but it's kind of too late because it's done. And so sometimes being a good exemplar, being a good wife, even when your husband's not being a good husband, this is biblical. Sometimes that changes your husband's heart. And I think you add that, that's what the femininity piece is about. Like, continue being a good wife. Continue telling your husband what you need and what you want in the most respectful, peaceful way that you can. And you may even have to set boundaries for yourself if it's hurting, like, the family or the finances and things like that. But God does call us as wives and husbands to continue in this journey of love, even when there's something going on that we don't like. We can't just be like, oh, I'm getting a divorce because I don't like your personality. Like, that's not mature.
You can, man, I think, a man wants to be needed.
Yeah.
So, using language like that, you know, I need you. I need, I want you. You know, not this attitude of I can do it on my own, I can do it myself. You know, just in a feminine way, with honor and respect, the same thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, we've been saying before. But yeah.
Because some things do take time. It's not an instant.
Yeah.
You know, this happens instantly. All right. So I think this was a very good conversation. You once again enjoy putting me on complete blast. I mean, that was some cool stuff you shared, babe, about my little personality quirks at the beginning of our marriage.
Oh, man. I was, at the beginning of the marriage, I was more passive than I am, or than I grew to be.
But passive is a negative thing. I don't know if you're using the right word.
Now I don't think I'm as, if there's something that bothers me, I will voice it. So, yeah, I probably didn't use the right word on that one, but I definitely was more reserved and pulled back quite a bit.
Yeah, that's how I would describe you now, as a reserved guy, but not reserved to the point where you won't call out wrong or you won't correct. But at the beginning of the marriage, yeah, I think you were, because you're an introvert anyway and you don't like conflict,
that's what
you use passivity as a way to punish. I'm not saying deliberately, but there's nothing worse than a passive husband. That's not, that's bad. If your husband is passive, that means he's basically dead, walking.
Don't care. What you're feeling and that stuff.
Turned completely off. And that's not what we want in our husbands, because we want strong husbands that, you know, are involved, that can be emotionally connected with us so we can be bonded. You know, we don't want a passive husband. Like, that's a bad feeling, to feel like your husband is being passive. It almost feels worse than if he would argue with you. And I feel like you know that about me. You know, I'm always here for a good debate or an argument. And I think you feel like, I'm not even going to give it to her. Like, I feel like those times, like, I'm not even going to, I'm not. And it hurts me more if you don't engage as opposed to if you do engage. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's all we have today. And I mean, we could go on and on with this, but, you know, we must come to an end of this episode. So, ladies, if your man is, you know, not feeling you, if he tells you you're a nag, maybe you're not a nag, but there's some things in your relationship that you just don't like or an issue you have, you might have to switch up your style. You might have to switch up your style to get the results, because at the end of the day, I think we all should think about, what do we really want? Do you want to win the argument? Do you want to win the battle? Or do you want to win the war? You know, do you want a happy marriage? Or do you want to win the argument? Do you want to prove your point? Or do you want to have a close relationship with your husband? You know, we have to start thinking about the bigger picture so that we can build long, healthy, happy, godly marriages, and we can be an example for the young people coming up and also the community. And I think it's so important. So, babe, do you have anything you want to say before we get out of here about nagging and inspiring your man to be great?
No, just goodbye.
Oh, I can't stand you. Oh, this guy, y'all. Oh,
have
my
a good
goodness.
Day or night.
All right, you guys, please, single ladies or ladies with daughters or book clubs, go to Amazon and purchase Be the Prize. There is a Kindle version and there is a paperback version. It's a book that I wrote about setting boundaries and standards in your relationships prior to marriage, and it talks about femininity and our role and all those things. It's a great, you know, short read. I'm not saying it's great. The reviews on Amazon have been great. My DMs and all of that, people are saying it's great, so I'm going with it. And you can also follow me on YouTube, Wifey for Lifey Group. And same on Instagram, Wifey for Lifey Group. And we will see you in our next episode.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.